Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the internet. We have a short docket today, so let's get to it. First, 530 days and counting for the search to locate Jennifer Doulos. Second, Suzanne Morphew, 6 months since her disappearance and nowhere to be found. Third, Lady Justice may be blind in Oklahoma. Fourth, a police officer is charged with stealing a used car. Fifth, an accused killer takes his own life hours before a jury convicts. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you please hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, leave me a comment below about what we talk about today. First on the docket, 530 days. That's right, 530 days and counting for the search for Jennifer Doulos. And they still have no idea where she may be. As you may recall, Ms. Doulos went missing on May 24th of 2019. A year and a half has passed, and the police have still not been able to find her remains. Now, the prime suspect, the former husband of Jennifer Doulos, Fotos Doulos, committed suicide and obviously is not here to face the justice that he may so rightfully deserved. There are two co-defendants that are still there, Fotos Doulos' then-girlfriend, Ms. Traconis, and his former attorney, Mr. Kent Mwahini. The two co-defendants that remain, Michelle Traconis, is due back in court again on November 24th, and Kent Mwahini is due back in court on the 30th of November. They are charged in the conspiracy to commit murder related to Jennifer Doulos. Of course, the letter written by Fotos Doulos stating that neither Michelle nor his former attorney, Mr. Mwahini, had anything to do with the death of Jennifer Doulos is completely inadmissible in court, as we talked about yesterday on our live program last night. That would be hearsay. Not subject to cross-examination, completely inadmissible. And so neither Traconis nor Mwahini will get the benefit of that letter if anyone actually believes a word that Fotos Doulos actually said. Leave me a comment below. Do you think that the authorities are ever going to find the remains of Jennifer Doulos? Next on the docket, kind of a theme developing here, Suzanne Morphew. That's right, the mother from Salida, Colorado, that went missing on Mother's Day of this year. 6 months has passed since her disappearance, and the police are no closer to finding her remains, finding her, or charging someone related to the disappearance. We've talked about this before. The Fotos Doulos case is kind of the exception to the rule where somebody actually charges a homicide case, even though they do not have the body to say that somebody's actually dead. Why? Because the prosecutor has to be able to show that somebody who is the named victim is in fact deceased and they didn't just run away. That's why the Fotos Doulos case was an exception to the rule that you need a body. Obviously, the prosecutors here in Colorado have no one that has risen to the level of a suspect where they believe they have probable cause to obtain an affidavit for an arrest warrant. A lot of search warrants have been issued, but nothing has been found. If anyone has any information regarding any tips related to Suzanne Morphew, they can contact the tip line, which has been set up at 719-312-7530. The police actually urge people to let them know of their information, even if they think the investigators may already be aware of that information. Sometimes you'd be surprised. There's only so many investigators. There's only so many hours in the day. Maybe they didn't get around to it. Maybe it got put on a stack of paperwork that they're going to follow up on. If you have information, please let the authorities know. Next in the docket, Lady Justice may be blind in Oklahoma. You may recall about the case we discussed several weeks ago where the attorney general in the great state of South Dakota was heading home from a political fundraiser and killed somebody on the side of the road. That's right. The attorney general thought, ooh, I must have hit a deer, but didn't stop, but somehow decided it was a good idea to go back with his chief of staff the following day to check on the deer. Oops, turned out it was actually a human. Of course, it takes months and months for the investigation to take place. Has nothing to do with, I'm sure, the fact that he's the attorney general of the state, but needless to say, no charges have been filed. I would submit, if that were you or me, that you would have charges for some sort of vehicular manslaughter in literally no time, maybe a week or two at max, not months and months. Well, in the great state of Oklahoma, a woman who is now a former state senator because she lost her re-election bid last year has been charged with first-degree manslaughter after a car crash. According to the investigators, now former state senator Allison Freeman, who represents an area in Tulsa, was driving recklessly above the speed limit on a rain-slicked road when her car skidded into another vehicle on the side of the road, killing its occupants back in May. So at least that particular case only took 6 months to file, but it still got filed. Like I said, if it were you or me, and the police thought that you were engaged in some sort of reckless activity, you would be charged rather quickly. Maybe for the fact that this now former state senator is no longer a state senator, the police felt it was okay to charge her. It's a little sad that it may have taken that particular event. And I'm not going to throw stones. We may not know exactly for sure. But let's face it, if it was reckless a week after the election, it was reckless a week after the accident. I'm not one to say that someone was given some favoritism because of her political status at the time, but one could certainly say that once that status and title were removed, she was back there with the rest of us common folk. We'll see if Lady Justice remains blind. So, quick recess on the docket. Now, for months, I have been telling you to go to crimetalksearch.com and sign up for a background subscription service. You can take my word, and I hope you would. But if you don't believe me, take a listen to what this subscriber said, and I won't repeat her name, but it says, signed up for the background subscription service a couple of months ago. Being a single woman living alone, it is nice to be able to check up on people. A man on Facebook messaged me. I didn't reply, but checked him out. He had 5 burglaries in New York and outstanding warrants. Glad I didn't fall for it. It is a great asset for around $25 per month. There you go. A testimonial from a viewer that says it works. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You can do those background searches. You can do as many as you want. You can do it anonymously, and you're going to get information about whether somebody has arrests, whether they have warrants, their criminal history. You're going to find out whether they have social media that's maybe a little different than the one that they say belongs to them. You're going to find out if they have phone numbers, email addresses that are associated with them, but maybe they're not telling you about. You're going to find out if these people have bankruptcies, judgments. You'll be able to find out if they're married or not. It is something you need to do so that you have the peace of mind to know that the person that you're going to be dealing with is the person they say they are. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. Take it not only from me, but from fellow viewers. Next on the docket, an officer with the Los Angeles Police Department was arrested Monday for allegedly stealing a vehicle from a used car dealership in the city of Orange. Now, I'm familiar with the city of Orange. That's where my daughter went to college at Chapman University. It's a nice little community for sure, but a vehicle was stolen from the dealership on the West Chapman Avenue on October 25th of 2019. Matthew Cayeros, 45, was a suspect in the crime. Cayeros was arrested in Los Angeles on Monday. He was booked on suspicion of auto theft and possession of a stolen vehicle in the Orange County Jail. He apparently was inquiring about the vehicle for sale and then just drove off with it. That's pretty bold. That's pretty arrogant. The Orange County police also report that Calleros had the Chevy Silverado truck when he was in fact arrested. And guess where he was arrested? Where the car was parked, at the Los Angeles Police Department parking lot. Some people would say, oh, that's not what we need to talk about here in crime. We need to talk about other things. Well, that little post, and I think most people that watch Crime Talk every day will know that I tell it the way it is. If the police officers do great, I'm going to tell it. If the police officers mess up, they need to be called out for it. That's simply the way it is. Because I had some comments the other day. It was primarily from one individual. He says that I was not fair and impartial, and the only thing I wanted to talk about were how good the police were. Wow. If anybody has watched me, knows that I call it the way it is. Bottom line. And in this particular case, this police officer is given the presumption of innocence. But if he did that, he needs to be punished, and he needs to be punished more severely than regular everyday civilians, because he used his position of authority to try and get away with something, and he thought he could, perhaps because of his position of authority as a police officer. Next on the docket, an accused killer takes his own life just hours before a jury convicts. Apparently, 78-year-old Terrence Miller, who was on trial for the death of Jody Loomis dating back to 1972, must have been able to read the tea leaves for sure. Mr. Lewis was arrested, but he had posted a $1 million bond and was on house arrest awaiting his trial. Apparently, Mr. Miller had told his wife and friends that he thought that the DNA evidence associated against him in this criminal case, where he was charged with first-degree murder, was possibly strong enough to lead to a conviction. Needless to say, Mr. Miller was found guilty of murder, but that was just hours earlier. He took his own life inside his residence. On the day of the murder, Jody Loomis was last seen on a bicycle. She disappeared as she pedaled around the corner from a fruit stand. At 5:30 p.m. that evening, a couple who drove their car up to a dirt track off of Penny Creek Road spotted Loomis lying on the ground, bleeding from a gunshot wound. She had nothing on but socks and her boots. She clutched a bra but was unable to speak. She was ultimately later pronounced dead at Swedish Edmunds Hospital. Investigators state that Loomis, who stood under 5 feet tall, was sexually assaulted and then shot above her right ear by Miller, who stood behind her and pointed the gun downward. Prosecutors state it was the first time that Loomis had ridden her bike alone to the stables. Other times, family members had usually driven her. The authorities actually zeroed in on Miller in 2018. They collected a coffee cup he had discarded at a casino and obtained a DNA match of semen that was found on Loomis's boot. He didn't know Jody Loomis, the prosecutor said during Miller's trial. He did not date her. The sperm should not have been on her boot. Miller, who would have been 30 years old at the time of the murder, lived around 5 miles from the crime scene. Authorities say that he had a sex offense history prior to Loomis's rape and murder. Now, I understand people take their life all the time, but when you are charged with something like this, and you take your life, that is a message to the rest of the world, just like Photo Doulos when he committed suicide, that you are guilty. And the sad thing about this case is that Mr. Miller wasn't there to hear the judge and the jury read the verdict of guilty and then ultimately be remanded into custody. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Kimberly Ragsdale. She's 47 and she lives in the Atlanta area. Well, apparently she was going to the Chick-fil-A near her neighborhood and was going up to the employees at the Chick-fil-A stating that she's FBI, give me free food. Now, there's always the joke that police officers were always at the donut shop. I never heard somebody say that the FBI hung out at Chick-fil-A. And I assure you, the FBI is not going to be asking for free food. They're going to pay for it. Well, when the cops arrived at the Chick-fil-A, when the employees became suspicious, they made contact with Miss Ragsdale. And like I said, she lives in the area, about a 20-minute drive from her house. Well, when the officers asked her if she'd been identifying herself as a federal agent, Ms. Ragsdale stated that she was a federal agent. In response, the police requested to see her credentials, which seems reasonable. Ragsdale replied that she didn't have it on her and that it was electronic. Ragsdale refused to exit the van. Ultimately, the police had to display a taser, whereupon she finally got out of the vehicle. Upon being handcuffed, Ragsdale continued her charade. She apparently acted as though she was talking into her shirt sleeve and telling someone that she was being arrested by the Rockmont Police Department. And apparently, Ms. Ragsdale had been coming to the restaurant over the last several days, stating that she was FBI and requested free food. Ms. Ragsdale has been charged with impersonating a public official. Now, it's unclear whether Ms. Ragsdale was actually given any free food on the days prior or on the day that she came in contact with the police where she was arrested. Needless to say, I think Ms. Ragsdale will look back upon this incident and say, I should have just paid for my damn food versus impersonating a federal agent asking for free food. Ms. Ragsdale, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, for those who aren't familiar with the dumb criminal contestant of the day, what does that get them? It gets them the opportunity to be crowned the dumb criminal contestant of the week. And what does the dumb criminal contestant of the week get? That's right, a Crime Talk mug. Now, we have several Crime Talk mugs. No one will be able to actually choose the Crime Talk mug because we tried that. Nobody ever claimed their mug. Now we just send them out to them. And it usually just depends on what we have here, but we send them out. But if you would like your own Crime Talk gear without having to go and becoming a contestant for the Dumb Criminal of the Day, you can do so at the link below. Buy your merchandise. It'll be shipped out to you. What could be better than opening a present on Christmas Day and find out that it is Crime Talk merchandise? I cannot think of anything better. I will be giving it to my friends and family, I assure you. Thanks for watching. We know there are 30 billion YouTube channels out there, and the fact that you took the time to watch our little channel is greatly appreciated. Have a great day. Thanks for watching Crime Talk.